Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Today we have special guest Victoria Pappas, owner of Melly Mental Health and Yaya's Extra Virgin Olive Oil. Victoria is a first-generation Greek-American and a hardworking mama dedicated to overall well-being and health. We're thrilled to dive into her expertise and learn more about her journey. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I have been looking forward to being here with you guys. I can't even tell you. I told Corey this morning. I was like, I'm going to hang out with Carly and Rachel.
I feel like you want to just stay here.
Yeah, I'm like, this is something that has been on my calendar. But honestly, even before we started Yaya's and before this year, when you guys started the podcast, I always dreamt about coming on. So
we're so glad. I'm honored you're here.
Yeah,
you're cool.
But like, also, cool we girl. Sort of knew Corey, your husband. I knew Corey before I knew you, which right. is a very weird meet.
Corey knew meet me friend. Before I knew Corey.
Wait, so I didn't even know that Corey. So Corey is Victoria's husband. I didn't even know that Corey knew Mike. And one random day, I always ask about men in parlor because I'm like, who is that man and how did he find us? Like, I need to know.
Right.
And I saw this man in salt and pepper hair. He's like adorable. Like, I'm sitting on the couch and I go to Sarah. I'm like, who is that? Like, he's adorable. And why does he come to parlor? And I went up to him, started talking to him. He's like, yeah, I went to camp with your husband. And
Joe then, is geography.
Yeah, 100%.
But I didn't know him either. And I asked Sarah also who it was. And he would be like, hey, Carly. And I'm like, hey,
who are you?
And then now I see him all the time and I'm like,
he's so cute.
No, love. Corey, like with his full head of hair, he needs to go to like,
he has great hair.
He needs to go to like the nicest place,
thick,
feel
thick
comfortable.
Hair.
Mm-hmm. Like this is his vibe.
Yeah, he's a bougie boy. Sure. Yeah. We love it. We respect it. Corey, we love you.
Totally.
We love you. So you're like an interesting girly. When we were forming the questions for this, we were like, how does extra virgin olive oil meet mental health and therapy? It was like a hilarious conversation.
Yes. Tell us.
Yeah.
Tell
so,
us.
Gee,
tell us how they
I don't
meet.
Even know where to start. To be fair, it started, my journey started, I'd say like over 10 years ago. My undergraduate degree is in business. And when I was in my early 20s, I was kind of like unsure of what I wanted to do. I felt this kind of pull towards small businesses. Corey was actually, we were dating at the time. He encouraged me to learn how to run a business through my dad, who owns gas stations and convenience stores.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I was like,
that's fun for candy. I feel like too, like growing up,
you I think gas stations is such a genius business.
Have access
model.
To
anything. I actually think about it when I'm pumping my gas.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, to even backstep from there, my family, my dad's from a small village in Greece, Fasada. It's like right outside the city.
I like the way you say that. I want to say it.
Say it.
Fasada.
Yeah.
Fasada. She speaks Greek.
Fasada.
I love Greek food. I could live in a Greek village and eat feta cheese every
Honestly,
day.
Honestly, it sounds it like is. A beautiful life to live in a Greek village.
It is. And so funny enough, we go back every summer. We're fortunate enough to do so. And like, we go to this like small village where there's one restaurant, there's like your the electricity is going out, the hot water is going out. Mm. Like it's that very stereotypical like small village life. Now there's probably only like a few hundred people that live there year round.
Wow. Are there dogs everywhere?
Cats. Yeah.
Cats. Dogs. Yeah. When I went to Greece, there were cats everywhere and I don't like cats. So I would get
I'm not a
nervous.
Cat girl either.
Not like, a cat girl.
I'm allergic too. So
I know they don't like me.
Yeah. So yeah. So we go back and you know, when I brought Corey for the first time, it was like the first time that he, of course, knew my family growing up in Sharon and, you know, going through the school systems and stuff. But when he actually went to Greece to see where my family's from, it was very eye-opening. Like, wow, places like this exist in the world. And, you know, for my dad, it was like very typical American dream, comes to the U.S., you know, finishes high school, doesn't go to college, gets into the gas station business, builds from there, you know, has owned over 20 gas stations. And I wanted to like just learn. I wanted to feel, you know, the reward of having someone that really started from the ground up. So I ran one of his stations for 10 years in Holliston. And that was like my first baby. I learned how to run a successful business. I made a lot of mistakes. I really loved seeing people in the public come in, even if they were complaining about the cost of gas or whatever it is that they were complaining about.
The Skittles being too expensive.
Well, whatever. Yeah. And so what ended upsetting. Up, exactly. What ended up happening.
Stale Skittles.
I don't even know why Skittles
Can
were
you
on
bring
my mind.
Mic a little closer here.
Yes. what ended up happening was customers were coming in and like coming into my back office, just sharing their life issues and their problems. And like, I felt like I was becoming this therapist. And I was like,
Victoria,
I've always,
what?
That's honestly kidding. Hilarious.
Out of all of the things I thought you were going to say, that was not it.
It took a turn. The story took a turn.
I know. Interesting. And so I'm
How
like,
old were you here?
It was like probably 22, 23.
Cool.
I should probably backtrack. My dad basically was like, here are the keys to Holliston. Good luck. You know, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, okay, I'm going to order this much gasoline.
Threw you right in there.
Threw me right in
there. How the hell do you order gasoline from?
I mean, we had a distributor. It was a franchise. It was a mobile gas
Probably
station.
Just like ordering products, like wholesale, and then you mark up and then you
buy. I just never thought of it.
Yeah. I mean, we did it online. So I would order whatever quantities I needed for the week and or twice a week, whatever. Anyway, so people were coming in. They were just like sharing all different stuff. And so it kind of occurred to me. I was like, you know, I've always kind of wanted to be a therapist. I love talking to people. I like being one-on-one with people, but I didn't go to school for that. So I was like, I can't go back to school and like spend money on this. And then when Corey and I weren't together, we were broken up and I like almost moved to London. I was in a different relationship. And at that time I was like, I really want to have something under my belt. So if I do move, I at least have some type of work. I don't want to, the gas station can't come with me. So right. I wanted to figure something else out. So it wasn't until I was like 25, I went back to school, did a 2.5-year program, that was like affordable and I could just bang it out on the weekends cause I was still running the station. And so I got my master's and I decided to pursue therapy. And so with getting my master's and getting my license, I also started doing in-home family therapy. So I worked for an agency in Framingham called Advocates, where I was going into people's homes.
Oh, I've seen that sign.
Yeah. It's
on Route 9.
On Route 9.
Yeah.
So I was driving, like, you know, Framingham, Natick, all the different towns over in the Metro West area, and I was doing traditional family therapy. So I'd go into someone's house. I would sit there for 4 hours, very traditional, like, you know, mom and dad sitting at a table with young kids, talking about our feelings, getting to know each other. And it was really, really difficult going into people's homes and being, you know, basically you're a part of their family, like you become part of their family. And so I was getting my hours. And then eventually when I got my license, it was the start of COVID. And I was able to branch off and go off on my own. And so that's when I started Melly Mental Health. And now I do individual therapy and couples therapy. And I also do family, although it's a little hard to do that virtually now.
Everything's virtual, or is it like in an office? Or
I am virtual. So I either see people from my home office or I go into Corey's office and I log in and meet with people virtually from
there. Who's Melly?
Melly is actually honey in Greek. So my practice, like the sweetness of life, you know, therapy, finding your rhythm, finding your sweetness is.
That's cute. I like that.
Yeah.
So I have a little kitschy moment.
Yeah. I have a little Greek, you know,
did
style in there.
Therapy. So that kind of dropped in your lap. That wasn't something that like initially interested you.
No. I mean, I had a really good relationship with my therapist too. And so with being in therapy, I was like, huh, like I could see myself doing the other side of it. And it's still, I still have my therapist. She's kind of turned into a mentor, but I'm a very big advocate, especially since COVID, that like there is a need. You don't have to have some crazy traumatic experience happening in your life to see a therapist. I think that.
I agree. It's a tool.
Yeah. We're coming to a place where it's actually a lot more common to have a therapist than to not.
Totally.
Yeah.
I've seen that too.
Yeah.
And I think people need somebody to talk to just to have a sounding board that's not like a family member or a friend so that you're not like exhausting their ear so that you can get a very unbiased perspective back. So totally. I respect that very much. And I agree. Since COVID, I think people's mental health have changed drastically.
Yes.
So I feel like it's even more important. But then, so your story is actually even weirder and more all over the place than I thought.
Because
it's gas, olive oil, and therapy.
Well, technically, they're both oils.
True. True. How many times have you said that joke? Honestly, you need to admit it right now.
I know.
A few times.
It's hilarious. It's so funny.
Well, so then you also recently launched another business, which is Yaya's Evu.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yaya's EVOO. So that also was a conversation that Corey and my dad and I were having like at the beginning of COVID when everything, I don't know if you guys remember, like everything went subscription. Everything was like delivered to your doorstep. I remember, you know, we weren't pregnant. It took us a while to get pregnant. I can get into that too.
I'd love to get into it, girl. I'd love to know that.
Yeah. So at the time it was like all of our supplements were like offered subscription based and delivered to your doorstep. Eventually I had my son and like the formula was also like an option. So when Corey had the idea, like, why don't we bring over this liquid gold that your family has, you know,
stock of,
and people don't realize how important it is to have high quality olive oil. I said to him, I don't want to just like go into markets and like do it like how everybody else does it. I kind of want to, you know, have it be convenient. I want it to be like a convenient service. So where he has the warehouse with what he does and we have the olive oil and we both kind of have that entrepreneur mindset, we were like, why don't we just like try to sell it online?
Let's do it. I want to tell you something. Yeah. I actually hate going to the grocery store and getting olive oil. I don't know. It's like a weird
people
thing.
People say that.
It's a weird thing because
it's overwhelming the aisle a little bit for me.
It's a big bottle and it's annoying and it's always expensive.
Right.
So I'm just like annoyed when I have to get it.
Yeah. And it's always when you're cooking or if you're whatever it is that you do in the kitchen. Yeah.
I always forget it.
Always forget. And it's like, I always forget like salt and pepper and like the ingredients that we literally use multiple times a day. So similar to like formula, if you have a baby or, you know, your vitamins, like I just ran out of a supplement because I was changing my payment method and I didn't have it. I was like, oh my God, I thought I was subscribed to that. And so I ended up changing the payment method, but I was annoyed for like 3 days because I didn't have that vitamin that I normally take. So I wanted it to be more convenient and I didn't, again, this is like a side business that we started that we're not like necessarily, we want to have fun with it. We want to be able to like enjoy the process.
The cool outlet.
Yeah, it is.
I love that.
And putting our heads together has been like also really cool.
It's fun
like
and creative. Totally. Yeah.
I know not all like couples would want to sign up for that, but I feel like for Corey and I, especially because we grew up together, it just has added like another like element and like layer to our relationship. I like
absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it's fun when you guys can connect on work 100%.
Yeah.
So interesting. Very cool story. Yeah. I love to hear it. So like, let's talk a little bit about marriages and what you see. I feel like you have a really healthy marriage. You said you're doing family therapy. That's super interesting to me. Like what are common themes you see people struggling with in their home or in their marriages?
Totally. I would say, and I probably, you'll hear me say this word all the time. I would say boundaries in marriages, whether it's professional or even personal. I just see people, especially couples, not having the proper boundaries on putting each other, even when you have children, putting each other at like the top of the pyramid. So, you know, whether it's family or friends or work, it's getting good at knowing when the relationship needs that cup filled and like investing the time, investing whatever it is to kind of, you know, keep the marriage alive, keep the marriage feeling like it's moving forward. You're not neglecting it.
Putting
the work into the marriage and figuring out like what is my husband's love language? I know that sounds really cliche, but like really understanding and then following through with it. He's a very like
respecting it.
You know, he would be more of a physical touch, as I assume most men are. Mm. For me, I'm like an acts of service girl.
Me
like
too.
If you're bringing the barrels in from taking the trash out, like
I'm what
like,
mine was.
Hello.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Because
I want to look back at my test.
I think we're talking to a couple people because people who are in long-term relationships, like you got to keep it alive. It's not like the movies or the TV shows that are like romantic that everyone watches and they're like, oh my God, look at that dreamy guy
bringing
me flowers every day. I'm like, yeah, talk to me when you have a mortgage.
Right.
Talk to me when you have two kids
screaming all night.
Talk to me when rent's due and you need to pay it or like you need someone reliable to go take your car for an oil change and like you can't do something.
Absolutely.
Like, and I think people forget that because society and the world shows you these relationships and you're like...
On TikTok.
No.
Well,
that's not how it is.
Well, no, I think marriages and relationships are built in the times of turmoil, right? Like in how you react to that. It's not to say that every relationship's perfect. They're not. It's like everybody fights. It's a sign of passion. But it's just like how you recover.
Never fully know someone. Like that person's growing and changing just as much as you are, whoever's in the relationship with you. So like there's times where Joe will show me a side of him and I'm like, did you just do that? Because like I will literally fucking kill you. And also I would just like to be very clear, when did you start doing that? I'm just talking about something random. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but there's times where I learn things and I'm only married 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think about it for the rest of my life. I'm like, I committed to like be on a journey with someone. Not that that journey will always be perfect, you know?
Right.
And it's crazy. I some of my friends will come and talk to me and they'll be, and I'm like, marriage is not like a fantasy thing.
No.
You don't just want to like get engaged and it's like a fantasy world that you live in where it's like we're in love and we have sex every day.
Right.
That's not like a thing.
Sex every day sounds awful.
Who the fuck wants to have sex every day?
That would really hurt. Like, yeah. I don't want to have
ew,
sex
every people day. Do.
Well, I am not. I'm not capable of
and,
that.
And for those that are like, well, you know, the sex is great or this is like the most important thing in my marriage. It's like, okay. But going back to what you were saying, you know, when you go through challenges in your marriage, in your relationship, and then you repair and you guys come out of whatever that challenge is, there is something like so profound and so raw and
attractive
deep and attractive. Yeah. And so with Corey and I, we were broken up for a solid like 4 or 5 years in the middle of our 20s.
Why?
Mostly because of religion, but also some family stuff, boundaries. And also I was also figuring out what I wanted to do. And I felt like if I was with Corey, I wasn't able to figure out what my path was. It
couldn't be clear.
Exactly.
I really respect that though.
Yeah. So I kind of like saw how my life was going to be. And I said, you know what? If we're meant to be, I'm going to let him go. And we're going to, you know, with risks that we may not come back to each other. And if we're meant to be, it'll be. And again, we both were very close to marrying other people. And then in our like late 20s, we happened to both be single. And he basically proposed within like 3 months, didn't tell anybody, was like, we're doing this. I was like, if we're going to like go on a coffee date, we're doing this. Like it's actually happening.
So I get what you're saying.
At that time, religion, converting, all of that stuff was like out the door because we already had lived 4 or 5 years without each other, having dated like Greek guys, Lebanese guys. He had, you know, people that were in his religion and it just, we chose each other.
Yeah. So know? Are you saying like he believes in one religion, you believe in one and like they were clashing?
There was some expectation of him to convert in order to marry me in my church.
Understood.
As a Greek Orthodox.
Well, because Greeks can be intense about religion. And so in Judaism too, some parents are very strict about marrying another Jew.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously.
Well, I was just going to say, I can relate
married
to
an Italian.
Yeah.
I don't even know what religion he is. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea.
Pizza bagel. Well, that's tough though, because it's how you grew up. Well, so it's like, how do you amend that?
I think right. The thing is that when kids are involved, you have to have that discussion. You cannot totally. Get married and not have a religious discussion because
agreed.
Because when Joe and I think I was 23 maybe or 24 and like, I knew it was a serious thing. And like, I was a very big, like date to marry kind of girl. Mm-hmm. Like I was not in the mood to like go on dates or be on Hinge or like, I was like, we're either same thing as you. We're either doing this or not.
Peace I always out. Wondered what Hinge was like though. I had never,
I do
never
feel bad for my friends that have to dated. Be on Hinge. Cause I'm not good at, I'm like really not good
but
at like
small talk.
People
meet on Hinge and it's same. Great.
I'm just not good at small talk though. And like, I already liked
you. I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah. Me too.
I'd be like, hey,
yeah.
What? How
maybe
are you?
You just like make eye contact and just be like, I think we're not vibing.
Should we go to bed?
Well, yeah. You have to know me. You have to know me like, cause I can be super intense for a little while for you to like me. So like, I don't think any guy would be like, whatever. Anyways. I was very serious about my kids being Jewish. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, this is what's going to happen.
This is like my non-negotiable.
This is non-negotiable. So like, you're good with that. Your mom's good with that. You talk to your mom about it or peace out. And like, cause I was like, I'm not like telling your mom that I want my kids to be Jewish.
And I don't think it's your, as a therapist, 100%. Now, that wouldn't be your place.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm very abnormal. Like a lot of people are very respectful and like, are like, this is what I want. Can we compromise? I'm like, there's no compromising. I'm just being honest. There is no compromise. But
that's your vibe.
We get along really
well. Yeah, it's just, that's what it is. And like, there's no right or wrong.
What's your sign?
Leo.
Oh, see, I love Leo. Joe's a Leo.
Yeah.
Oh, but, right. I just wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Right?
Turned 34, yeah.
Yeah. I just turned 34.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You old hags, you.
Stop saying that.
You
see, when
old
I turned
hags.
34, people started to treat me different. I swear to fucking God.
Like you're being better?
Very no, dramatic. Like commentary would come out. First of all, 3 people bought me socks.
Okay.
And that, which
shut up. You love socks.
I do love socks, but I think that was very odd that 3 people thought like we should get her socks for her 34th birthday. Like they were like, it's like she's old now.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? And then like the commentary that comes out of people's mouth is like, yeah, like you're closer to 40. Or like you old hags, like you just said. Like I just
how
noticed
old are you?
A turn.
31.
She's not that.
Yeah, young. She's a youngie girl living in a old world.
I wanted to say something. I forget what we were saying, but like I think when Mike and I are fighting the most, like, cause we both know, like, we have two kids each, they're both young. And like, I think it's those the rise of energy when like the kids aren't responding to what you want. And then like shit's heightened and like,
and the dogs are barking.
The dogs are barking. And
how
like,
many dogs do you got?
Two.
We do too. So we're the same life. It's loud and it's crazy and it's chaotic. And when things are heightened and the foundation of our marriage, we haven't been putting the work in to fill the cup. And then the heightened situation is happening. It is absolutely, there is going to be an implosion. Something is going to, we're going to fucking kill each other.
Yep.
Something's going to happen. Yes. So it's like, then when I go back to like respecting him and being like, what are your needs and what can I do for you? And then he does the same for me. Then I like have more compassion in those moments where I'm like, you didn't refill the fucking night diapers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why, where's the night diapers?
Totally.
It's like, okay, well, I love him and he was busy this week. So the night diapers didn't get filled.
Yep.
And maybe it's not his role to fill the night, you know, but then otherwise I could kill.
Yeah. Marriage is hard. Relationships are hard. I think it's like a cyclical thing. Like there's sometimes I'm like so obsessed, Joe. And sometimes I'm like, if you look at me, I will hurt you.
That's honestly, I think, normal. And I think when people, the couples that are, whether it's not so much professionally, but personally, they're like, my husband and I never fight. It's like,
you're lying.
You. And I'm like, one, I wouldn't want to hang out with you because you're lying.
You're lying.
And I like depth. I like when people can say, you know what? I had a really hard time. We had our first child. We had our second child. We started a business. We did this. And like shit gets really hard. And that's real. That's real life. And I think when people can kind of take that blanket off and be comfortable talking about things can be really difficult in a marriage. It's not, there's no like finish line. Wonderful. Oh, we're so happy. Everything's great. And like, what? You're only 35 and you have the rest of your life. Like,
I agree.
Life gets really hard. And especially when you have children and you want to parent, you know, hopefully similarly. And like you were saying with religion.
Well, that's a similar topic of conversation is how do you want to parent?
Yeah. Totally. Like we had talked about it because he has two older brothers. I have four sisters and we were like, three of my sisters had their first children. His brothers are a little bit older. So they have multiple children. So we kind of had like a taste of, or a preview of like how everybody was like raising their kids. Did they prioritize sleep? Did they, you know, what was their vibe? And I think also with like social media and just like us having a lot of information and resources, and thankfully he was on the same page with me that we wanted to have our kids on some type of routine, especially as a working mom. Like I needed the predictability to know Lewis was sleeping, you know, at these times, I was going to feed him at these times so that I could keep my practice going and I could, you know,
also prioritize your career and your self-care,
which I feel like is really, I don't know why, even still at 2024, I feel like it's like such a difficult conversation to share, like talking about keeping my practice going or starting a new business or being a working mom. I don't know. I feel like now in my own village of people that I stay close to, I feel supported, but I do think that there is a group of people that still isn't like really on board. There's still, I don't know. I don't know if you feel that way.
I think it could go both ways. I think you adopt a lifestyle that works for you is the way I see it. So like if you're going to be a full-time working mom, respect, it's a certain lifestyle or it comes with certain rules, like how often you take care of yourself, what that routine looks like. That's how your life will have to look. If you are living the lifestyle of you're a stay-at-home mom and your life is fully paid for by your spouse or vice versa or whatever that looks like, that's a different set of rules.
Totally.
I don't feel like I've had people like impose on me personally, like surprising that I'm a working mom, but I do think that they've imposed on me like, you're too busy, you're gonna crash, you can't do it all, there's no way you can do it all, like more like predicting my doubt or the doubt of my career based on the speed of my life. Mm-hmm. So like I've seen that. Or people can't relate to the way that I live my life and they like judge it because they can't match up. Because like for me, some things—
That's how I feel.
You know what I mean? Like for me, some things that, like you say it was hard, I'll just say it like this. And some people don't agree. Like for me, having one baby was not hard.
Me too.
It was not challenging for me. The only thing that was challenging was not
talk about that,
sleeping
though.
Through the night.
You planned for the child. You and Mike were at a place where the child was ready.
You had
the house for the child, or you were about to have the house for a child. Those are and I'm not
just premeditated.
Yeah. Like I'm not judging anyone who like has children and may or may not be ready, but like sometimes people who know that they have high stress or like you have a very busy schedule, you have to plan for that. You know,
I had to work differently.
It required you more work, not less. Oh,
always more.
To put yourself in a position to have the child and be still who you were previously.
But then also to be well and to keep putting time and energy into my relationship, like you're saying, I have to think of all of these pieces. And so like for some people who maybe aren't thinking of those pieces, I would imagine my life seems daunting to mm-hmm. them. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
Then when I had the second child, because I got pregnant 3.5 months after giving birth. And then I had surgeries during that birth and I had a, you know, complicated delivery and all these different things. Like, and then and then I had mental things I had to kind of work through after my second delivery. That was a different story for me,
right.
You know? So that was a little bit harder, but still okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. I think everyone's experience is so personal.
Totally. Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, Corey and I had talked about it 'cause I had just started my practice at the beginning of COVID. It took us almost over a year to conceive our son. And you know, we had
over a year, you said?
Yeah. I was actually seeing, Geralyn for acupuncture, like 6 months into trying. And I'm convinced that she definitely helped me conceive. But at the time we were nervous and we were like, maybe I should do IVF or consider other options. And so actually for our second, we ended up doing IVF and 'cause I had miscarried in between, when my son turned one. So IVF was like such a great experience. Luckily, we were able to get pregnant on the first round. But going back to the routine, yeah, we chose to have naps, feed at certain time. We're talking like first year of life.
Right. Which is really the most challenging to kind of manage for the first time.
Yes. And so I think, you know, with kind of an older school approach where you kind of like don't wake the baby and you kind of let them sleep and figure it out. And like, you don't have that kind of structure. It seems like it's still like a very touchy subject for people that, you know, don't maybe know how well it works when you can do some type of like sleep training. You know, I'm not necessarily saying like cry it out, but.
I do cry it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did with our son, but like for Sia, we didn't really have to, 'cause I just was better at putting her down.
You understood awake. The assignment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable talking about your like fertility journey?
Yeah.
What happened?
Like with miscarriage.
So you could get pregnant, but you couldn't stay pregnant.
So the first one, I just never got pregnant for the first year. Yeah. And
they never gave you a reason why?
So after doing some testing, I learned that I don't have a high egg count.
Your AMH was low?
Yeah. And so it was like, it was actually like a miracle that I did conceive naturally for Lewis. And then for around his first birthday, I ended up miscarrying. And at that time I ended up doing a DNC. And so they basically were like, because you have a low egg count and one of your tubes is now blocked, we suggest IVF. So we had already kind of like
mentally, grateful for the suggestion. So you don't have to go through the hell of it all again.
Yeah. And then I ended up getting another DNC after I gave birth to my second because I had like leftover placenta. You don't need to.
Lord help you.
Sia was IVF.
Yes.
And do you plan on having more kids? Or you don't
know? A touchy subject because I have a couple actually that I'm working with professionally who they've been married for 8 years. They agreed that they didn't want children. The husband had a baby when he was 20 years old. So the idea of him having another baby at like almost 40 is like a non-negotiable. So I'm working with them on like, what
do we do?
Right. And I kind of feel similarly where I feel like mentally and physically I've been through a lot with pregnancy and fertility. And as much as I love the idea of having like 3 or 4 kids, I just logically, I'm like, how am I going to do it all? I already feel so much guilt when I'm with one kid and not the other. And
yeah,
I respect that though, because that's the premeditated energy we were talking about. Like kids or something. I mean, of course people have surprises and you got to figure it out, but if you can be premeditated and plan for it, it's better for everybody.
Totally.
So I respect the thinking about it, you know, and the clarity on that.
Yeah.
'Cause you do have to be ready for it. You cannot just enter into it and just be like, we're just going to figure it out. Well, like,
right. And I like the word intentional is like, it's ingrained in me. I like try to have as much intent with whatever I do. Like I said before, like taking the trash out, I do it as gracefully as I can, like planning for our family, planning our finances, starting a business. Like, I feel like I just put like a lot of thought totally. And of course there is surprises and you kind of have to be flexible and go with it.
But if you're methodical at your 80% baseline, then the 20% surprises aren't that jarring.
Right.
So to me, it's like, okay, let's be 80% foundationally solid. And then the rest we can
I roll with like the punches.
And the partner you choose. Like I sometimes like will have like crazy a crazy work day and like I cannot find myself doing dishes or taking the trash out. And that doesn't bother Joe at all. So mm-hmm. like he can take that over for me. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't come
down. Yeah, but that comes down to respect too, because he understands what your work day is like. So if he was coming down on you when you came home, that'd be kind of douchey.
It just doesn't come naturally to me, honestly. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Like I just forget to take the trash out on Fridays. It's just not my thing.
Now when you do, you'll not, probably think of
yeah.
it.
No, literally.
I just, will not take the trash out.
I do feel like that's a partner
job. I will not do it.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have to.
And I will not do the dishes.
Do you cook?
No.
She's a fake cook.
I sort of cook. I like heat up frozen items.
Yeah. For your kids.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think as I get older, I want to cook way less. It's hard, but I do like the recipes you post. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, they're nice.
Thank you.
I saw Corey making some eggplant parm.
Yeah, he's like, we're not chefs by any means. Like I am not like some expert, like this is the best, you know, protein salad, blah, blah, blah. I'm at a stage in life where if it's quick and it's healthy, like
that's Namaste. What we're doing. Yeah. Sounds great.
You let's know? Go into air that fryer,
air fryer stuff.
Well, let's just conclude on therapy because I just have a few more questions. So like couples, I get it. Non-negotiables, boundaries, like preparing for like, cause it's, I think it's also challenging. I think it's easy to say it. It seems like the three of us have spouses that like are compassionate and understanding. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes like the example you were giving of that couple, like what if they are meeting at a line where it's like no to this and yes to this and how do you resolve? What is advice you're giving that couple? Like how do they get through that?
So I just started seeing this couple and they're really, really interesting. You can tell, and again, I'm virtual, but even being virtual, you can tell that this couple has a lot of love for each other. Like they want this relationship to work and they want different things on this topic of whether they're going to have a child together or not. And I think, you know, me as a therapist, my goal isn't necessarily to come up with, are they going to have the baby or are they not? It's more, how do I create this space for them to feel seen and heard.
An atmosphere of communication.
Yes. And, you know, already in our sessions, you know, the husband has really gone down his own history of sharing what it was like to have a surprise baby at the age of 20 and how difficult that was. You know, you're basically a baby yourself.
A baby, yeah.
You know, and, you know, not really working and not having finances and also having to care for this, you know, this infant. So I think hearing his journey with him having his own baby at that age is giving her a little insight. I think the idea of having a baby seems really great. Now, this couple is also someone that, you know, there's some spontaneity in their relationship. They like to move around. They like to go to different cities. And I think having some of that like logic, well, what does it actually look like when you have a child?
Do they have no kids?
No.
Oh. Well,
he has one from like 20 years ago when he was 20.
See, that's so interesting for me.
She wants one.
Yes.
That's tough.
It is really
tough. And they decided on it before going in.
And then she kind of had a change of heart.
Her mind. Oof.
Yeah.
But like at the end of the day, it kind of is like, I know you're creating the atmosphere for communication and it all sounds lovely, but at the end of the day, it's like, are you having the fucking baby or are you having not having right. the baby?
Well, that's right. Super hard because I was just going to say to you, it would be very hard for me to marry someone who A, went back on something like that. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. And two, I don't know. It's also hard because the woman is the one that has to actually have the child. Mm-hmm. So that's a touchy subject.
That's a tangled web.
It is. It for sure is. And
do you ever get like impatient in those moments? I know you have to be politically correct.
Yes, I do have to, you know, I can't show if I'm like kind of in alignment with one versus the other. But whether it's couples or individual, like I definitely do not describe myself as a therapist that's like traditional and I'm not going to reveal or share anything about myself. If it's something that I think can resonate with someone, I do share it. So
I would need
yeah, yeah. I think it's very powerful to say like, you know, my parents were divorced or I had struggled with fertility. People feel like, oh my God, like this person
is a human.
Yeah, she's a human. So I do share bits and pieces with, especially, you know, the wife in this example. You know, having children is like the most rewarding, precious gift and job that you will ever have. And at the same time, there is a big responsibility. And so really giving her life examples, like if one of my kids is sick or has a fever, like my sessions basically go on pause. I take the day off and I'm with my kids. So, you know, being able to like really see what it's like to have such a huge responsibility. it's not just like a, let's get pregnant and have a baby shower.
Yeah. You just got to paint the picture and then let them decide. Cause you also can't overstep.
Right.
Do you ever just want to like shake someone and just be like, you're not seeing the point?
Yeah. Well, in the first like session, I was like, I'm just going to like be very blunt with you. And I just asked like these really heavy questions. Like, is this a deal breaker? Like, would you, do you want a child so badly that you would leave this marriage to then go have a baby with someone else?
Right. You would need to understand the pulse of where you stand in this solve.
Yeah. And I, and maybe it was too soon for me to ask that, but like, that's my approach. Like, let's just.
No, I have respect no, I it. Why that, are we dancing around the subject? Right. I mean, at the end of the day, that is the topic at hand.
Right.
And it's a tough situation to solve.
Yes.
What about is. Like individuals? Like, what do you see people dealing with mainly? Like, cause I do get a lot of people who come to me too for like advice or different things. Of course I go to other people as well, but sometimes they'll come to me and it's like, I find that a majority of people lack slowdown, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, a little bit about being so busy yeah. or they lack the ability to be alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like a I see a lot of like stage five clinger, like women who like are not comfortable being alone. Mm-hmm. And I wonder like, do you see that too? Do you feel that? Do you prescribe that? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely know what you're talking about. I think, you know, as we get older, getting comfortable with our alone time, especially as your life gets busy. And if you do, you know, if you do have children, I think that kind of goes under the same umbrella with the theme that I also see, which is just not feeling fulfilled. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be super busy and you have to have all these like
agreed
caps and yep. stuff. You could have one thing. It doesn't even have to earn you money, but you have to have some type of fulfillment. You have to have something that like makes you sparkle and shine, that makes you feel shiny and new.
Purpose.
And I think there's a lack of that. I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know if it's because, you know, seasons of life, people get married, they have kids, they almost like forget about themselves.
No, it's interesting because I'm in a different season of life maybe than you two, because like my friends are just starting to get married and I find that people like obsess over their weddings for a certain yes. period of time, then their honeymoon for a certain period of time, and then they're married for a certain period of time, and then they're trying to have kids. And I think everyone wants that next best thing. Mm-hmm. So people forget to enjoy what's actually happening.
Be present.
And sometimes that happens to me. Like I forget. I'm like, I wake up on a Saturday and I'm alone and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing today? Mm-hmm. What's going to make me happy? Whether my job fulfills me enough and that's wonderful because I feel like I have purpose, but it's also like, what else?
Yeah.
What else you got, Carl? Mm-hmm.
I find myself in the moments of speed, like when the week is really busy and crazy and like I didn't have as much time for meditation and like I'm in the moment. Like the other day I found I was in the cold plunge and I was like, I'm really proud of myself. I'm in the cold plunge. I'm doing this. I found myself reaching for my phone mm-hmm. and I challenged myself to be like, why do I need my phone in this cold plunge? Put your fucking hands in the goddamn water and you don't need to check Instagram for the 700th time today.
So I agree. I
being alone with your thoughts too, not just physically alone. Cause I was physically alone in that moment.
No, sometimes it's sickening how much I'm on my phone. And then I like, I'm like, are you like good, bro? Like, what the fuck are you looking at your phone for?
It's a little
like super weird.
I think you have to understand it's kind of like a sugar addiction. It's like a dopamine rush.
I know, TikTok like really makes me happy.
Carly, you send me TikToks while you're driving.
I like still do don't that. Get
it disturbs
TikTok.
Me.
Like, I'm like, I know, you need
to figure that out.
You're disturbed. You're wrong.
I know. I need to you're hang mistaken. Out. I just like, I just can't get into it. I don't know what it is.
Let me tell you how you get into it. You open your phone
and you just
and you scroll.
You're so wrong.
It's the fucking best. I love it better than Instagram, but like Instagram hosts more of like our launch announcements and different things. And like, did we post the right amount this week? And so like, it's sometimes it's work related for me. Sometimes it's personal, but like, I don't need to be so available to people. So I go through this cycle, but I'm just curious, like, do you also see like a mental health correlation to cell phone usage? Like, do you ever talk about that with your clients?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, I have a lot of Gen Z clients.
Interesting.
And what's their issues?
What the fuck is wrong with them?
A lot of college students, I mean, they love meeting virtually first off because that's their life.
Right.
That's what they know. They don't know what it's like to like sit in traffic and like go to an appointment and like wait, whatever. So they,
God forbid we have some downtime.
Right. Exactly. They're like eating their snacks. They're in their dorm rooms. They're, you know, they're doing their thing. They're feeling comfortable. But I would say like relationships for sure. They struggle. Friendship, self-confidence, self-esteem. There was another one. And food.
And of course food.
And diet.
Interesting.
Relationships, yeah.
Well, I would imagine it's very difficult to be in Gen Z. And I would imagine like relationships are probably really hard because in a generation where immediate satisfaction is the norm, if somebody doesn't respond right away to a text message and you know, I'm sure that they're spiraling and then they can't focus on their schoolwork.
Well, think
and then
about
food
how
choices
it was,
are poor. It's like, how do you unpeel that onion?
When we were younger versus how it is now and how kids look like.
Someone said something to me recently that our generation is, specifically our generation, is very unique because we're the last generation to have lived without cell phone usage and with extreme cell phone usage.
I don't think
usage.
I had a cell phone until it was like my freshman year of high school. Same, like dad wouldn't give it to me.
Same. We like, remember when we had like school. AIM or like you'd like leave your away message on.
Oh
like,
yeah.
You'd go out for the day, come back. It was like a similar, but way healthier.
It's a different world.
Separation. Right. And
separation is a good word.
Yep.
No one separates from their phone.
Right.
Do you ever like feel guilt around using your phone around your children?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I try to be, I think also as a working mom, like when you're not working and you are doing like the 4 to 7, you know, bedtime, books, bath, the whole thing.
The night job.
Yeah. The night shift. Like I don't have time to like look at my phone. If I get an email or if I get something, a ding, like I just like, I have to just, I know that I'll have time as soon as my kids go to bed. So I try to be good at,
see, I struggle with that. Like when Ferdinand's on and we're doing the cuddle session in bed, like I find myself, I'm like looking off to the side a little bit.
Well, you don't need to be fucking watching Ferdinand, Rachel.
I love Ferdinand.
I think it's normal.
Oh, it's a great movie.
Oh my God.
You should watch it.
We're not talking about Ferdinand. What? It's what her kids watch, you weirdo.
What are you talking about?
Like, it's Ferdinand. Like, is it a psychological thriller?
No,
sign me up.
It's a kid's movie.
No, I don't know.
About the bull?
No.
Who likes to sniff flowers instead of fight in the ring?
No, I don't know it.
Did you ever read Ferdinand the book?
No.
What the fuck?
I need to get this book. Is it on Amazon?
I want a poll on who has read Ferdinand as a child and who has not.
I haven't.
This will be you didn't read Ferdinand?
No.
What do you talk? Maybe because it was in my room?
All right, next. I don't care about Ferdinand.
Well, it's a great movie. And sometimes I'm on my phone during the movie and I feel guilty. You know, like it's tough. But cell phone usage, I'm sure, has a correlation.
Yes, it for sure does. And what you were saying about like whether he responds back in 5 seconds. It's like, you guys, get busy. That's what the issue is. It's like, get a little bit busy. Get a little more intentional.
Get a little soul busy, honey.
Exactly. Like, feel good about yourself. The faster you can do that, the less you're going to be sitting here twiddling your thumbs, wondering if this guy is going to text you back and, you know, worrying about how many friends you have.
What does get busy mean to you?
Yeah.
Like what do you want people to do?
How do you help people find their purpose?
No, yeah. I think I agree with you, but I'm just like, I'm curious on your opinion on, does that like work out more?
No, I think for me, it's like, I'm a morning person. Yep. So like busy for me is like get up in the morning, like literally get up and out of bed by like 5:30. Sometimes I can't do both, but like do a little journaling, maybe throw on a meditation while you're getting ready, have your coffee with cinnamon powder and start your day with intention. Just that, to me, that's being busy. I'm not just like rolling out of bed and like my kids are waking up and I'm kind of just like winging
doing burpees.
It. Yeah. I'm like winging it. No, like I have
no,
to like,
there has to be separation between wake up
gonna be me.
Yeah.
And mom.
It's hard.
You will not be happy. It is not fun.
I have to try it first and I'll let you know.
You will not be happy. It's you need separation between the wake ups and your morning.
Yeah.
If you want to not crash eventually.
Right. And I, you know, with that said, I'm not sitting here saying like, I'm going to bed at 11, 12 o'clock at night. I'm in bed by like 8:39 because I know I need to get up at 5:30 to.
With my second, when I had the second and it was a little bit more challenging for me because like I am a little bit more of an organic mom. Like I do the routines, like we have bedtime, but like if Lily wants to cuddle, like I'm cuddling.
Yeah.
And if she wants to cuddle till 9, I'm cuddling. Yeah. So like, I love it. And I could just suck her face off. So like for me, then like I lose my night and then I'm going to bed later. So like I also have to ebb and flow sometimes with those wake ups and different things. You know what I mean?
Can you guys remember previous to kids, like what you would do in those moments besides meditate and coffee though? Because I think also, yes, having kids
in the morning,
I think it's easier to have, it's not easier to have a routine with kids, but you have more to do.
Well, you have to structure your routine like, around the kids.
Right, yeah. Right. So like when you have kids, like that's what I'm waiting for is like that next moment to have something new, have something to take care of. And that's wonderful. But like, what are your opinions on people who don't have kids or the Gen Zers? Like they don't have a lot of kids yet. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
like what should they do?
You can answer, like, then
what,
I'll go.
Yeah. What are your answers? What should they do? What should their routine look like?
I mean, I think it's personal. I think it's personal. I think it depends on whether you're a morning person or a night person. Some people have more energy and they feel, you know, their most creative self, and they maybe they journal and meditate better at night. For me, it's a morning thing. I think it's just getting good at like knowing what makes you tick, what makes you feel like your best self. Yeah. And it's different for everybody. For me, music is my medicine. I have music playing in my house all the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's Greek, whether it's lo-fi vibes, like I just need some type of beat.
Usually give her a little beat, motherfucker. Yeah. Drop the beat.
I like for beat. Victoria. We have old 90s, like hip hop, Biggie.
Me too.
Like,
I love 90s.
Right. Like it's, you know, I know that though. I think people just don't know what it is. I'm like, get a playlist. You need a new playlist. And they're like, yeah, like I was walking my class and I actually felt so much better. And just being able to kind of process that stuff with people is powerful.
Yeah. I think comfortable being alone too is like really up there. I know we were talking about that previously, but like, I think I was telling Rachel this, like my Saturday, sometimes I do nothing. I wake up, go to Blue Bottle, Chestnut Hill, walk around, see what new stores are over there. They just got an aloe over there. Mm-hmm. Very excited. I'm fully alone. Going to Legacy Place, going to Whole Foods, seeing what's new, shopping, but like I'm alone. Like some Saturdays, like I don't have
plans
for dinner. I don't always have my husband works completely opposite schedules than me. So like, I think people feel lonely and I'm like, okay, I could sit here and feel lonely and watch Sex and the City on Netflix all day. Absolutely could. And that would fulfill me. I'd be very happy doing that. But I don't think that's necessarily healthy, you know? So like, I think I make my Saturdays, I book myself a little facial, I book myself a little moment, a massage.
But you enjoy it.
Enjoying my whole time. But I'm alone all day on Saturdays typically, or even Sundays are kind of like.
Do you crave like meeting up with a friend?
No.
Or like, no.
And, oh, no. And that's off the list for me.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even consider it.
I'm in that season.
Yeah.
I can't. Because I don't have kids. You know what? I find that when I attach to a friend, they attach to me too much. And then they're like, I'm getting texts, I'm getting invitations. And I know that sounds very.
I get it.
Rude.
You're preaching to the choir.
But if I get the invitation, it's like once you kind of indulge, I find most people require another indulgence, and I don't really have the capacity right now.
Yeah. So I feel that on like such a deep level, especially since having Sia,
You can be my friend.
Even if it's family, like I feel bad, but when you're balancing so many things, like pickup, like as our son goes to the temple, in Needham, like pickups and drop-offs and making sure Sia is all set. And also like, you know, carving time out for my clients and making sure things are moving with Yaya's. Like I need, even if it's 30 minutes, whether C is taking a nap and Lewis is being picked up, if that 30 minutes is going to give me time to like take a shower and answer an email, like that 30 minutes is so precious. So if I have visitors or like friends coming over, that takes away from the momentum.
Well, that's because you give 100% to everyone that's in your presence. And I think that that's the issue. It's like when somebody's in my home, I'm going to serve you a seltzer on nugget ice. And I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. And like, do you feel comfortable? And how does it smell? Does my house smell good? And like, I want to accommodate.
I think family is the only place I mean, I don't have kids. No. Yet. I don't know.
With like, family, I could just fart around.
Well, our family is just, I don't know. We're like smaller informal. Like I could be with them 24/7 for us. Like my mom, like I could be around her 24/7 and be like, I would
literally get in mom's uterus.
But like even hanging out with Rachel, like she doesn't need to entertain me. I'm not fucking entertaining her.
I think some people don't take.
Yeah. That's like my sisters. Yeah. It's like they can do whatever they want and they respect our boundaries. And so they understand like, okay, she's got a lot going on. Like,
well, that's another area of boundaries come into play.
Right. Today is not a good day. Saturdays and Sundays, come. My house can be an open house, like come in and out. As long as I can kind of like keep doing what I have to do, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
But I think it, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. I think some days are harder than others. And
what I'm getting from both of you though, is just like it heightens when you have kids even more.
My answer to your question, if you don't have kids and whether you have kids or don't have kids, I have the same answer. So non-negotiably, I pick one self-care tactic a day.
Yep.
Like it could be
a bathtub.
It could be a bathtub. It could be a long shower. It could be a nature walk. It could be Tai Chi, it could be meditation, it could be journaling. Like I said, it's a list of things that I enjoy that I feel fill my cup, and I'll do one a day. And I had this conversation with one of my closest friends the other day because like she's doing zero self-care. And I'm like, you're gonna crash.
Yeah.
And so now she's on this kick of like once a day, I'm gonna do something for me. It could be 30 minutes. So that's one thing is what are you doing just for you? And the other thing is quiet time. In addition to the one self-care item you're doing a day. I find that in this generation with the speed of life and being soul busy, even if you're happy being busy, if you do not spend time being quiet, I'm not saying meditating, I'm not saying breath work, I'm not saying journaling, silence. And just hearing your thoughts, if you are not doing that, then no matter what, I would imagine you're disconnected from your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I just think that it's, yes, it's alone, but it's also just silence.
Mm. Do you do the quiet time in the morning or at night?
I do it when I can. Yeah. So it depends on the day, because sometimes my days just get thrown up. That's why it's just a non-negotiable for me. So if I've gotten to the nighttime portion and I was unable to do it in the morning because for whatever fuckery of a reason, like this morning I was in the middle of a meditation and then I noticed something was wrong with the business and I had to solve that. And then my whole fucking routine got fucked up. So tonight I know that after the kids go to bed, I'm taking a meditation bath with incense, with rose petals, with fucking Epsom salt. Like I already planned it. I already know it. I already communicated with Mike, but I prioritize it.
And then when you say that to him, and I'm sure this was like earlier on in your relationship, what was his response when he learned that you were doing this?
So
this was like, this is part of me. This is part of my day.
Definitely. Well, so like when Mike and I first entered into our relationship, he was definitely not spiritual, not as positive, and definitely not living in the fifth dimension as much as like he does now.
Okay.
He came from like, I think a little bit of a different background. Now he understands that, lives it, breathes it, dips out of it, understands he's dipped out of it. Comes back to it with me.
And then he also does his own
version. I was just going to say, yes, in the
thing that I think in relationships that I notice with Mike, sorry, I'm choking.
You're right.
Mike and Rachel that I love is that they both have their own things. Okay. And I think for me, it was very important for me to have a relationship where we had our own things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to
your own life.
Yeah, you have to have your own life. Rachel always says this to me and I'll always remember it. And like, I use it when my friends need advice too. Like you come in this world alone and you leave alone. So your best relationship with yourself is yourself.
Most important, yeah.
And that's the most important. And if you can't be alone, like Joe is a Boston policeman and he has to work overtime a lot. And he has to, there's some days he can't get that day off when I want him to, or I want to go to a dinner, and Saturdays and Sundays I'm home alone a lot. Mm-hmm. And if that's not for the week, because a lot of people get married and they're like,
let me tell you,
a lot of people get married or they're married to doctors or nurses and their schedules are not the same all the time. And they're on call and
they
have to go in.
My sister is that way. She's her TV reporter. So yeah. She works nights.
Cool. 100%. So their relationship, you have to like know that going into your relationship. That was a very big thing for us before. I almost broke up with him because I was like, don't know cops. Don't know their lifestyle. Don't know if I like it. Don't know if I can handle it. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing. And like, as we do it, I get more used to it and I'm happy. But if I wasn't comfortable being alone and this was his role and this was his job, that would be very hard to navigate myself. And some of my friends don't even understand that or ask or know, because I deal with it myself. Because right. I'm like, this is a me thing that I have to deal with. I'm not going to sit here and complain about his job because I also respect him going to work, working 48-hour days.
Absolutely.
And providing for our family. Like those things are attractive to me. But I think my point is that if I wasn't my own person and I was only a person connected to Joe, then I'd feel like I was no one. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want to feel like that, you know?
And do you think he would feel that way? Like, would he?
So the reason this is not the only reason I love him. I love, like, we could literally not make any plans and that man would have a whole plan for the day.
Oh, I love that.
So he would be like, I'm going to the gym at 12. I'm cutting the grass at this time.
Oh yeah.
He's very different than me. He's very regimented.
Mike does not cut the grass.
Yes. He's a very different boy.
Does not do that.
You probably have more similar. Joe is like a lot like different than what I'm used to, but that was something I searched for in my male partner because that was not something I was good at. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, let's get coffee. Let's go get a bagel.
I don't know if you searched for it as a partner as much as you got lucky though, because like you kind of met.
No, I'm really attractive to someone who can like put up a curtain.
I think it was a pleasant surprise.
I think me and Mike would not do well together.
No, Mike doesn't even notice if the curtain rod is not up.
That's important to me though.
Corey's like that.
Yeah. Actually. Like he literally wouldn't even know.
He's very handy.
I love a handy.
He is.
See, I find that very sexy, but maybe it's just because we don't have that. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I have that.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. I'm saying, me and Mike,
but
do
where
not
he's
have that.
Great, he lacks in other ways. And yeah, it doesn't matter.
I love him to death, but I mean, it's just, he's definitely not hammering anything into
our
world.
Mike picks up new like things, like golfing is his new big thing for the past 3-4 years. But I've known him for however long Rachel has, and he always has a new thing and he's always excited about something else. And he's always excited about being the best he can be. And I think your male partner or your significant other or whoever needs to be like that.
Right.
Well, that's growth mindset, right? Yeah. Like it comes back to like, I'm ever evolving.
Not even in your
work life. I'm not going to be, and that's part of the reason I also struggle with friendships sometimes too. Cause like I am literally a different person 3 days from now. Like I am not, the conversation we had, I might feel completely different about it because I've evolved. I've read 3 books.
You've thought about it
like,
longer.
I listen to podcasts. I'm like, oh. I have a new perspective and I'm a new person.
Yep.
So I'm, you know, you don't even know me. You don't even know me anymore.
I changed.
And, yeah. And you can go in and
I've evolved.
And I think that also, and I talk about this in my practice too, like, you know, whether it's your marriage, your relationship, your friendships, your village of people that you have, if you're not with like-minded people that want to grow, that want to, you know, evolve and improve and get to know themselves and have like a increase in self-awareness, you feel like you're like in this like cage. I can't be around people that are like not willing to kind of do that growth or do that, you know, inner work. And again, I'm not saying like,
well, cause then it becomes a preach of your opinion. Yeah. Like if they complain, like I can't do a complainer, right? Cause I think there's a solution to everything. So I'm like, you want to complain about that? And then I'm like, okay, well, did you try this? Did you try this? Did you try this? Did you try this? Were you quiet? Did it? I'm like,
and then
just listen to my fucking podcast.
Right. Did you follow through? That's like the biggest thing. People have all these like great advice and ideas and they don't follow through. And
it's like, okay, follow through is tough.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I do that too.
Consistency is tough.
Yeah. I preach and I'm like, bitch, you can don't fucking do that. Shut the fuck up.
Anyone can do something for 2 weeks.
100%.
Can you do it for 90 days?
Right.
That's what I want to know.
But also, can you catch yourself? Like, I don't need Rachel to tell me that, like, I've gained weight or that, like, I could have eaten healthier. Like, I know. Mm-hmm. In my soul.
Well, also, would that be fun to hang out with if I was like, hey, stop eating the cake? No, I'm going to eat the cake with you.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, like, but there will be times where you're like, used to, where you'd be like, I think it's time. Well, and like, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I love friends like that. But for me, like, I love an honest friend. But
put down the food, ma'am. Down the pasta.
Hungry girl. I feel like it's the summer. I'm very hungry in the summer.
Like this is a nice transition to olive oil.
No, hold, I want to talk about olive oil, but I was going to say it's really hard to have friends where like, they're like, oh, well, we don't really have intimate moments with my husband or my boyfriend. And like, we don't hold hands. I'm like, did you try to hold his?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
I'm like, dude, were you outside and trying to hold your, did you have a date night plan?
That's like, actually a really good point. And like, can you remove your, so like the other day, it was like a month ago or something. Mike and I were fighting. He was doing the dishes. Like, I forget what we were fighting about. It was like something so fucking dumb. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop bitching for a second. I'm going to go hug him. I just stopped. I went and hugged him and I gave him a kiss. And I was like, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of us. And we're doing so great. And he was like, thank you so much for just shutting the fuck up and just hugging me. And I was like, you're welcome. He was like, honestly, I think I just needed a hug.
Yeah.
And like, they need love.
They need love.
Too. They can't just have nagging, and, bitchy, and honestly, witchy bitches.
Totally. And honestly, like, again, this is like part of my therapy stuff is like modeling for our partners how we want to be treated or how we want to kind of receive it.
That's leadership.
Also, like, are you going to break up with the person? Are you leaving them? Is it that detrimental? Or are you going to talk to your significant other and work on it? Like,
Carly would be the most blunt therapist that ever existed. She would literally, she would have one session. She'd be like, we can figure it out today. Here's the deal. Are you going to do this, 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 or this, or leave him?
Yes.
Make the decision now.
I think we should leave him.
3, 2, so one, get out of my room.
I originally went to school, you both assholes, for marriage counseling.
Oh, wow.
And then soon realized I was like, fuck no, absolutely not. Because I have no patience.
You have to have patience.
And I with my friends, like sometimes they won't tell me things cause they know my response is what it's going to be. And I'm cool with them not telling me. I don't even care, but I have no
filter
or time for the bullshit. Like it's not just you in the relationship. If your significant other needs something, like sometimes I will be yelling at Joe for something and I'm like, wait, who the fuck are you to say us? You didn't do this, this, and this. You're a fucking asshole. And I'll look at him, still mad at him, and I'll be like smiling under my breath, like I can't turn around.
Right.
Cause like I know that like I'm doing something that's not good. So like, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean.
So like for me, it's like, but it also comes from like, why'd you pick that partner? Mm-hmm. You signed an agreement. You signed a piece of paper that you were gonna compromise with this person relationship wise and marriage wise. If they had red flags, why the fuck did you marry them?
Totally. And that was part of the reason why I think, you know, Corey and I wouldn't be where we are right now had we not broken up and like lived life apart as adults.
Yeah.
And I knew when we were getting married that he was going to give me the space that I needed to like grow, to change, to like, I'm not going to be this like small, you know, stereotypical, you know, whatever.
You're not going to be put in a box.
Correct.
No one puts baby in the corner.
Yeah. And so I that's mostly the reason. Is he handsome? Yes. Is he hardworking? Yes. But like truly.
Does he have great hair? Yes.
Yes, he does. He gives me the space to kind of flourish and to be,
that's
to
it.
Be big.
Giving me space.
Yeah.
Mike gives me space and he wants space for me too, mm-hmm. for sure.
So
like
does Joe.
Like he, I think that's a healthy thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a healthy thing to miss everything in your life. I love to physically go to work and miss my children.
Me too.
I love to miss my friends. I love to like catch up and have it be a meaningful catch up and not just be like
surface level.
Yeah. Like I don't need to know every detail about your goddamn fucking life. Just like live it, enjoy it, thrive, and let's meet back again. Tell me how you're thriving.
And I would rather have like a longer conversation having not heard how you're doing.
I'm more interested.
Well, I have friends that still, I think, live in that high school mindset where we need to hang out every Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That goes away when you have a child.
They need to get out.
Yeah.
Well, no. And I think when you live in a certain, I think people have trouble saying no.
Yeah, I'm good at it.
You know what I mean? Okay. So like it's a skill. I'm too good at it. I'm actually not too good.
I've gotten to the point where like, I think I'm rude. I've said this before, like I kind of had to pull back a little.
But don't you also feel like you're also modeling for people that listen to your podcast or know you that are like, you know what, that girl like has it down.
Sometimes yes, sometimes I'm coming across rude. Like, well, you've never asked me to like hang out seriously.
But I know where you stand. So like, I probably wouldn't. But I secretly picture our kids being together and like our husbands hanging out.
It will happen. It will happen when it's right. See, you respect that because you understand it. I think if you don't understand it, you don't. Because it's like, it's not that I don't want to be social and I don't want to hang out. And if I feel like a connection, I want to cultivate that. I enjoy that. That's fun. I'm a fucking human. It's not that. It's that I have to be able to prioritize all the things in my life to be at the baseline of well for me, and then socializing can come next. So if I put socializing first, that other thing doesn't happen and then I crash.
Yep. Well, don't get her wrong. If you put her in a social setting, she'll flourish too.
Like like the other night, I was like absolutely shit faced, like thriving, running through the Cape, like on my birthday.
But if you look around,
the best time.
It's everyone. I looked around, I took pauses and I was like, who the fuck else would I be hanging out with right now? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like a very interesting thing. And you make time for the people that are very important to you.
I always make time.
And it's not that people are less important. Like my friends aren't less important. It's just like, would I choose to hang out with you, Lily and Sadie, or go out drinking to Cisco and Seaport? There's no choice.
Well, not going out, like last night I was, I got Lily in bed by like 8:30. And which was fine. This earlier for recent things. And Mike was waiting to watch House of Dragon with me. And he was being so patient. Like he was like in bed waiting. It was ready to play. We were so excited to watch the end. But one of my friends called and I could tell she wasn't feeling okay. And I was like, I hung up on her earlier. I hadn't talked to her in 7 days. And I was like, I said to Mike, I was like, I need to answer her call. I need to just go call her really quickly. So like I will always make time for those people that like I'm, you know, are my core. But then if I do that for everyone, then I find I'm stripped to nothing on socializing.
I mean, I think there's times where you take
have
the
to
call.
Be good at like picking and choosing. Okay, this is a moment in this person's life that like it's
they need me.
Yeah, they need me.
Well, so then I took the call, right? But I said to her, I said, I just want to let you know Mike's waiting for me to watch House of Dragon, but I wanted to talk to you because I could tell you needed me. So let's talk it through. I'm going to help you. And then I'm going to go and watch this with him. So like we got to the solution. We talked it through. It was like a very meaningful conversation. I was like 10 minutes. I'm going to watch the show with Mike. He was being so patient. And then I did. Went to bed by 10:15.
Beautiful.
Woke up at 6. It was perfect.
Yeah.
But if it kind of a full circle conversation. You started this conversation talking about boundaries. Every single part of what we just talked about is boundaries.
100%.
The time I left Lily's room, the time I spoke to Mike about this is the boundary I need to set for this time, the time I said it to my friend, and then got in bed.
Yep.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. That's how I am too. Yeah. I'm thinking too, like when Corey and I were in our early 20s and we first moved in together, when we're talking about being alone, I remember like we were seniors in college and we lived in the North End. And I remember going, like I took a shower. We were like, I was in our bedroom and he was in the living room and he came into our bedroom and was like, are you mad at me? And I was like, no, I'm just sitting by myself, like staring at the wall, enjoying some quiet time. This was like however many years ago. And so from a very young age in our relationship, I feel like he learned pretty quickly that I'm not mad at you, but we also don't need to be sitting next to each other all
wait,
day.
This is, you remember the, like, do you watch Sex in the City or no?
Yeah. I mean, not religiously, but yeah, I have.
I literally watched the episode last night where Aiden and Carrie moved in together and she was having
she's like, hey, what's going on? How you doing?
Literally, he kept doing that. And then she was like, buddy.
No, he says, hey, what'd you see? What'd you do? How'd you do? What, when she comes in correct. And she's like, the shoe, and then Pete is eating the shoe.
That they're two separate, but you're very close. But
is that season?
It's you're very like thank you're you. Involved in the season. But it was really funny. She's like, buddy, I need this from you. You ready?
And I'm she shuts close the, curtain.
The curtain.
Yes,
you sit over there.
That's me. Walking
I'm gonna
up the
sit
stairs.
Over
I'm
here.
It like might literally be you.
Yeah, I'm
like it's giving Carrie Bradshaw with like the hair right
that.
Now.
Yeah, everybody. Says
I love her. But then literally especially 2 seconds later,
curly. Yeah,
she opens the curtain. She goes. What are you doing? And she's like, sometimes.
And she sits on his lap.
Yeah. And I think
and then the episode ends.
Could you hold on?
Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I take pride in my Sex in the City
trivia. She says something, yeah. though, at the end. She lays on Aiden and she says, sometimes all you need to have is like that you said it out loud and someone understands you.
Yes.
Because she said, this is all I need. And she just needed him to understand. And then she was over being alone.
Well, in an oversimplified way, isn't that sort of like the point of life is just to feel understood by yeah. like a select yes. group of people? Like, yeah. isn't that the end goal of psychology?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's think, why and picking a partner is,
yeah. I think being good at which people do you actually want to feel validation from or, you know, supported and loved and seen and heard. If it's just everybody, then you're going to probably be disappointed and you're going to keep hitting this part of you that's like, love me or see me or feel me. But really, when you think about the person that you're wanting that from, yourself. Are they really that important to you? Like, is it
right.
really going to mean that much to you? So knowing your parts, like in therapy, we talk about like, you know, we have our anxious part, our depressed part, our happy part, our little girl part of us. And so really
that sounded wrong.
But like the little,
you have
like
your
the,
little girl parts.
Like the, no, that's true. Oh, like the younger version of you. Like the
yes, I understand
version.
What you're saying.
And so, you know, rather than having our parts speak for us, we want to be good at speaking for our parts, like your heart center. So that's also kind of our.
It's funny. I often say to myself, like, all you have to really ever do is speak from your heart center.
Yeah.
Which is why going back to that conversation of saying no and those boundaries is hard for me because sometimes, you know how you said, like, by example. I went down that route where I was like, obviously, you know this, that like, I'm going to say no. And then I was met with someone who like doesn't listen to the podcast and like doesn't know that side of me. And then they were like, well, this girl's just a cunt. Like, you know what I mean? Like this girl's just a fucking bitch.
But I would also argue that people that don't even know what boundaries mean or they have zero, they're not going to understand or respect them.
Exactly. If you haven't walked that walk, then how would you live that?
Right.
Yeah.
If,
or
if
understand
you're not boundary oriented and you kind of just like fly, like float through life and la la la.
Yeah, you totally. Know? And then again, like then this is the contrast of it all, right? Like yin and yang, like we going back to the Greek village, right? Like women in that Greek village are not sitting there like planning their routines and like scheduling it all in and focused on their alone time versus their boundaries. I think this all comes with the prerequisite of like where we live and the age we're living in, right? Like if I lived in a Greek village, I might be like, la di da di da, like whatever.
But you would have some type of like routine.
I'd have something that fulfills me.
Well, different places live very differently. Like when I lived
in Italy. Our culture.
When I lived in Italy for 4 months, you kind of got meditation different ways where, Jesus, you got meditation different ways where you would walk everywhere. Anywhere I wanted to go was like a 30-minute walk. So you were alone walking, trying to find what street you're going
down. That becomes part of your routine.
And that's a different way of living.
Right.
And the food's so fresh and makes you feel good. And everything's so different. It's not as fast. Like their rules are different. Everyone kind of eats the same thing for breakfast. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, you're living
it's
differently.
It's a totally different lifestyle.
Culture has changed for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And I think that's what makes it hard to navigate is because, and then you're also comparing, you're like, look at these Instagram models with their rich boyfriends. And their
perfect
pals,
life.
Their perfect Alex Earl watching her and like, she's so beautiful and you're like, how the hell are you so pretty after a night of drinking and you have no cares in the world and blah, blah, blah. People post how much she makes. I'm like, no, it's not normal.
Yeah.
It's not like reality. Like bring yourself back.
Right.
Be you. Those are things that people struggle with a lot. It's interesting.
It's a nice little convo.
Yeah.
Very well. Wait, I do want to talk about olive oil.
Yeah, I do too.
Let's get into that for a second. So we know how the business started. Mm-hmm.
What makes Yaya's olive oil different is what I'd like to start
different
with.
From
other olive oils.
Yes. So first off, there's definitely like something going on in the US with olive oil. Like there's, I don't know if you, like on TikTok, there's like,
I watch. Oh, it's people, on TikTok.
Yeah. People are like learning and trying to educate themselves around the brands that you see in the grocery stores versus ones that you can kind of reach, like family farm, family owned producers. And when you taste the difference, you almost feel like, wow, my whole life, I haven't been using real olive oil.
So I've tasted the difference.
Okay.
For 100%. I agree with you. It's the color.
Yes.
Like you can tell in the color.
You can smell it.
Yeah.
You can, even if you took like a spoonful of it,
100%.
It'll burn a little bit in your throat.
I'm with you.
Yes. So in the US, it's not regulated as much as it is in Europe. So you can go into a supermarket and buy extra virgin olive oil. It will say it's extra virgin olive oil, but it's not.
So it's mixed from different countries is the issue, right? It's mixed
from different countries, yeah. Or they put like seed oils, vegetable oils to make it less expensive on the shelf. So they're cutting corners. They're
mass production.
Yes. They're taking away its health benefits because extra virgin olive oil should be at a 0.3, 0.4 acidity level, meaning that their polyphenol count is really high. Polyphenols is the good stuff. It's the antioxidants. It's the stuff that we want for longevity. It's for, it's just packed with antioxidants. And so if you aren't getting a high polyphenol count and you're putting extra virgin olive oil on the label, it's actually false. It's not true. And if you do the whole freezer test, you'll be able to see. I mean, I'm Greek. I cook everything in extra virgin olive oil. I cook my eggs in it.
But I have a question about that. Yeah. What about smoke point?
Smoke point. So that's another like kind of myth that I like to debunk too, is you can cook with extra virgin olive oil. It's not going to take its health benefits away. I think it's like the temperature is between like 350 and 450 degrees. But for whatever reason, we were all like the American consumer was taught that you shouldn't cook with extra virgin olive oil. And that's actually false. You can totally do that. It's just like, it's such a foreign concept because having been raised here in the US, even though we always had our like hands on our own olive oil, I didn't realize that it was something that like people just didn't have. Like we have friends that were coming over our house and they would try our olive oil and they're like, oh my God, like this is amazing. And now we just started Yaya's and people are getting their Yaya's bottles and they're like, I really taste the difference. Like I'm going to subscribe or I need more. We're using so much of it because now my vegetables are tasting better when I'm roasting them. And you know, it's like, yeah, it's a liquid gold. And so it's been really cool bringing something that's so old school and like filled with such tradition and culture from my family to the US and seeing people and seeing the Yaya's bottles in everyone's home has been like such a rewarding feeling.
But wait, I want to go back to the smoke point because I'm confused on that. And I only use your olive oil for cold things.
Okay.
And I didn't know.
Yeah, you can use
it. Because like I use avocado oil for like high heat.
What is up with the avocado oil issue thing?
I don't
even know how they get that oil.
I am like an extra virgin, of course. I use it for everything. I don't really use any other like seed or vegetable oils. You use it for
absolutely everything.
Everything. I use it for marinating. I use it to cook my eggs. I roast vegetables in it. I mean, basically whenever you're cooking, I use extra virgin olive oil. I think people feel like because it's, you know, it's extra virgin and it's like the high quality stuff, they're like afraid to use it. They're like savoring every drop.
100%.
I definitely savor your bottle.
Yeah.
But your bottle's also bougie and like looks really nice in my kitchen. So like I want it to remain.
Well, because thank my you. Olive oil is on the counter. So yeah,
mine's on the counter too.
I respect
too.
The
well,
look.
That was also like with the convenience aspect, I wanted also a product that
aesthetically.
Yeah. Was like nice, that like fit nicely in my kitchen, that looked cool. The evil eye on the bottle like symbolizes, you know, the Greek tradition and, you know, blessing us all with really high quality olive oil.
What does cold press mean? I don't get it.
Cold pressed is basically when the olives are harvested. Usually it's an early harvest when you're doing extra virgin olive oil. It means that the olives are actually being squeezed and that's the drippings of the olive that's creating the actual
So they're not
olive
like heated oil. And then no, understood. Nothing.
Yeah.
No and chemicals. And cold press. They're pressed cold. I've
yeah, they're
never
cold extracted. Yeah.
Thought about that.
Why yes. does that matter?
Why does it matter?
Yeah.
Because if you're not doing cold press, also I should mention, people that produce olive oil can produce olive oil. What sets our olive oil apart is when our olives are being plucked from the trees and they're being pressed, it happens all in the same day. We're not like plucking the olives, waiting overnight. Yeah, waiting overnight and then doing it like 2 days later, or if it rains, you kind of delay it. You have to do it like immediately right away. And that's what gives you the high polyphenol count.
Understood.
So there's your bottle goes all the way back to the process.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So we're
how do you manage that? Like, how do you?
My dad, he helps me in Greece. So interesting. He's the guy in Greece that's kind of managing all the olive trees, all the labor that goes into it, the people that are harvesting it, the bottler, like he's my go-to guy.
Nice.
So, which is great. My dad and I are super close. So as much as I love working with him, I'm also like, you're always in Greece. And, you know, I feel like he's going to retire there and maybe not come back.
I mean, it's fun for you. You can go there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's super interesting. No, I've definitely noticed a difference in the olive oil. And I honestly think I need to read more about the smoke point, because I do agree with you. That's something I was actually taught that from TikTok. That's a huge thing on TikTok, is like the smoke point.
Yeah, people talk about it. But
like, I love olive oil. I would rather use it for everything.
Right. No, yeah, you should. And it's like filled with health benefits. So it's like, not only does it taste good and it's fresh, but it's good for you. Like it's really good for your body and your system.
Well, people forget about healthy fats, and I think they forget about it because they cook with it. And I took this like fertility class, and she was talking about how like olive oil and avocado, like the actual food avocado, are like number two things that give you the best healthy fats.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But people don't remember to put olive oil as a topper. They just cook with it. So I saw some of your recipes where it's like you were making like toast with lettuce. I don't even know what you were making. And then you like throw the olive oil on top.
Yeah. I mean, literally it's like eggs, cucumbers. I love just putting like a bunch of random vegetables that are like in my fridge that I don't know what to do with. And I just, boop.
I want to take like a piece of sourdough, like right now, shove it in the toaster, put some olive oil on it, like spread some ricotta, sprinkle some like Himalayan sea salt, and like plop some tomatoes.
Yeah. Mediterranean, like
balsamic. I want to slurp that up.
Watch like now. The Netflix, like Blue Zone, and they talk. I haven't watched it, but I saw like some people talking about it on TikTok, where it's like these people follow a Mediterranean diet. And they lived the longest in these like blue zones where they eat a lot of fish.
I'm sure olive oil has something to do with that.
Yeah, no, it is.
I mean, if you were to go to where my family's from in this village, like you see people that are like in their 90s and they're turning 100.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not like living obviously in the society that we are, but they live long lives. They have healthy lifestyles. They cook with olive oil, but they also, you know, are active.
Walk and
they,
everywhere.
Yeah. And they pick their own vegetables, and they, you know, it's a totally different lifestyle. But I was raised like this, so I'm hoping to kind of keep that tradition.
Keep it going.
And alive with your kids. I love that. Yeah, no, the like the connection between your dad and then yourself and then wanting to be an entrepreneur yourself. Like that's similar to us. Like Definitely. We watched our parents when we were younger.
Except we got candy from Blockbuster, which was next door.
We loved Blockbuster. And
Blockbuster, we used to steal cash from the register and go to Blockbuster.
It was construction. Fun dip. Like,
fun dip.
Shut up with the fun dip. I love the fun dip. Not for me.
What a gross candy.
I know.
Now, when you really think about it, like the little stick.
Yeah.
The fuck is the stick?
It was the sour
compacted
straws.
Compacted sugar.
I liked so funny. The blue sour straws.
Well, this was invigorating. I mean, I feel like we did a really good job of covering all the topics, and I appreciate your honesty and being raw and like really just getting into it.
Yeah, so thank you for being here.
You guys are awesome.
Thank
you. I'm so happy to spend time with you.
Great episode. We love you.
Where can people find you for Melly Mental Health?
Yeah, MellyMentalHealth.com or Psychology Today, and then Yaya's, YayasEVOO.com. And for people that are listening, SoulBusy15, discount code.
Oh, we love a discount code.
15% off.
So all lowercase?
Yeah.
All lowercase, SoulBusy15. And we'll put that in the description as well.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Much love. We love you. Rock on.
Love you guys.
Over and out.